Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come and join us. Come and learn with us. It is so good to be among friends and really to learn from one another. And tonight, we're just grateful to have our dear friend from Texas, Alice Linehan, with us. Hi, Alice.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, doing fine, and I guess we'll go ahead and turn this over to Ms. Barbara Moore and let her start us off on the right foundation, Alice. Hi, Ms. Barbara.
Hi, Diana. Hi, Alice, and it's just a pleasure to hear both of your voices tonight. And let me start off by just commenting a little bit about Ben Franklin. I've been thinking about him recently. For various reasons, but I've been involved in some discussions about the founding of our country and America and so forth, the issue of slavery. And I was thinking, you know, Ben Franklin is widely known for many of his great accomplishments, but I don't recall reading much at all about his strong anti-slavery position and the actions that he took to stop slavery. And I find that rather puzzling. I was thinking back on the children's books that I've collected, and I would think that would be front and center about his life. But I haven't seen that, and I may have just missed it. I don't know, but it was so much a part of who he was it's rather strange to me. But anyway, I came across a really precious quote by Franklin that I had not seen before, and I'll share that with you too. He was at one point. And this was after the Constitutional Convention and after the Constitution was ratified. But Ben Franklin was confronted by a disgruntled American that his country had failed to provide him with the happiness it had promised. Franklin is said to have smiled and calmly replied, "The Constitution only gives people the right to pursue happiness. You have to catch it yourself." And how precious Ben Franklin was in his words, in his thoughts, in his deeds. And with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the great people, Father, that have gone before us in this country and throughout all time. We thank you, Father, that we have so much to learn from them. And I would pray, Father, and I believe we can agree with this in prayer, Lord, that we desire for our young people, Lord, to have the joy of learning. We desire that for them, Father. It's such a privilege and such a pleasure to have that and to be able to learn, Father. And we pray that for them. We thank you, Father, for this time that you've given us tonight, and we pray it would be profitable, that it would be beneficial to everyone who hears it, and, Father, that we would continue to learn from you through one another, and Father, to be able to apply what we learn rightly. And we give you all the praise and the glory. Father, help us as we strive to help the children and the parents and the teachers in our schools, Lord, in this country. And we love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Ms. Barbara. And Alice, we're going to try to let Ms. Barbara have one day a week where she's teaching us more history, and our children don't get enough of that. And she is just a wonderful historian, kind of like another Texan we know, David Barton, who we're hoping and praying is coming our way, Alice. We're fine-tuning it a bit, but we're believing that God is going to send us that David. You know, David versus Goliath is coming to Alabama. And I'm saying that because Miss Barbara, you know, Alice Linehan, she's another David. Now, she's a female version, but I was reading that article where she was fighting this, is his first name Thomas Ratliff? Is it Thomas? Have I got the first name right?
Thomas. You'll see in some of the news reports Robert, I think his real name is Robert Thomas Ratliff.
Robert Thomas Ratliff. Well, he's another Goliath, and how dare he come against Alice. Alice, I read some of that article. Now, am I insane in that he is trying to complain about the fact that you're not a paid lobbyist, because you should be, because of all the work that you're doing, and therefore you're not filing the proper paperwork? Did I get that right, Alice, or am I crazy? I'm thinking, did I get this right or what?
Okay, you'll laugh, because you know me, and y'all know, you know, the crazy stuff that we do as moms and grandmothers and, you know, fighting this battle for our children and our grandchildren. And so when I saw in the actual ethics report, he had a picture that he sent them that I had tweeted out, because he was mocking me on Twitter for not showing up at a State Board of Education hearing on C-SCOPE. And I was registered to testify at this hearing, but my tire blew out. And so I couldn't go. And so I was texting Ginger and, you know, all the great activists here in Texas, and I was saying, you know, I'm sorry, I can't be there. My tire blew out, and he's mocking me on Twitter. And so I had taken a picture of my four new tires, and I, you know, was kind of playing back with him, and I said, not to worry, Thomas Ratliff, because I wore out my tires. I put 30,000 miles on my car in 9 months fighting Seascope. But don't worry, because these new tires are 70,000-mile tires. So he said, obviously, if I'm putting that kind of mileage on my car fighting against Seascope, that I must – why would someone do that and not be paid? You know, and so I said, oh, I'm doing this because of my children and the next generation. It has, you know, there are some of us, and I think that is what is so wonderful and gives me hope. There are so, I'm just one of many people who are like the two of you, that we spend countless hours doing research and fighting this battle for our children and our grandchildren, and that's the payment, their freedom.
Wow.
Their freedom.
Wow.
That's it.
Well, let me tell Miss Betty Peters was on, our state board member was on just recently, and Alice, you've got to hear an interview we did with Joan Landis, mental health therapist who Utah's Against Common Core had interviewed. You have got to hear that and share that. She taught us so much. I almost think every state committee on education needs to hear this woman, because she says not just on moral issues, constitutional issues, but really we've got to really start talking to them about there was no research. You know, this is not founded on research, talking about Common Core Seascope. But here I go, going off on a tangent. But Ms. Barbara, the reason I said that was I read this article that Alice was in the news because this Thomas Ratliff was wanting to get her in trouble through the Ethics Commission because he thinks that she is a paid lobbyist. He just can't find the money. He can't trace the money.
Oh, my goodness. But can't figure it out. Oh, boy. Oh,
you know,
wow.
You know how this has all worked ever since all of us have been fighting this battle. God has he's just so brilliant. And so last Thursday, I guess it was, or maybe it was Thursday before last, I'm getting mixed up. But anyway, I was scheduled to go to Milwaukee, Wisconsin for a Franklin Center retreat on school choice. And they were hosting all of these national bloggers who were going to be writing on school choice, and which was interesting in and of itself that I was invited, because I've been, you know, really cautioning against school choice. We need school choice, but we have to define it. And so I get invited to this conference, and I'm packing and getting ready to go to the airport, and I get this call from the Texas Ethics Commission. And they left me a voicemail, so then I back, and they said that I had had an ethics charge filed against me by Thomas Ratliff, or Robert Ratliff. And so I thought, isn't that interesting that I'm going to a retreat with all these national bloggers who will cover this story? And so Kyle Olson, who you may have seen, Kyle Olson, he writes with Educate News, and he was the one who was on Huckabee's show talking about Common Core. So Kyle Olson was there at this conference, and he and I had this great conversation about what was going on, and he asked if he could post articles or blog posts from Voices in Power on the Edge News, and I said, of course. And so that's where the Fox News reporter found the article about the ethics charge, was through this national blogger. So see how God works?
He takes
care of it for us.
Wow. And I say that, too, because, you know, about the New York moms, I mean, well, the suburban moms, you know, I saw you talking about that. And we had Jackie Verga on last night, Ms. Barbara, you know, and that was
that's another amazing thing where God is bringing this out in the limelight. And I saw the Megyn Kelly, which I've always thought Megan's a young mom, you know, and I know that her thoughts are changing, you know, because having children makes you change kind of in a big way.
Yes.
And so, you know, she knows because people are interested, and she's seeing that in the numbers, I am sure, that when Common Core is a subject, she's going to get more attention. And it was a really, I thought it was a good piece.
Right. Yes, I did too. And that, what's happening is we talk about Dr. Peg Lessig and how she talks about that instinct of mothers. Who will stand up and fight back. And that's what's happening. I mean, the American mothers and fathers, too. Fathers are speaking up, too. But there is that instinct in mothers that we know when it's not right. And I have to say, there are a lot of Democrat mothers. There are a lot of liberal mothers who know this is not right. They love their children, too. And they may not agree with us on a lot of issues, but they know in their heart that they want their child to be able to read and write. And that's what's happening. I think it's the mothers. And, you know, I sent you kind of the draft of the Can I See project and what we're working on. That has kind of morphed into this even bigger movement with the help of Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst and with other, you know, elected officials from other states, but more importantly, from these moms and dads who are going in and saying, can I see? And we had an event last week in Longview, Texas. It was a great event, and Meryl, Hope, and I were driving home from that event, and we were talking about how to present the information that we have in this book and present kind of the battle plan and our calls to action, and we wanted it to be in terms of hope and not just all of the negative things that are coming out. And so our call to action is for parents and grandparents to give their child or their grandchild the gift of American exceptionalism. And the way that the way that we give them that gift is by going into their school and saying, can I see? Can I see what you are teaching my child? Can I see the curriculum? And can I see how you are teaching my child? Because really that's what Common Core is all about. It is not about a set of standards. It is about how teachers today are being taught to teach. And that's where the philosophies of Linda Darling Hammond and that collectivist humanist philosophy, the John Dewey philosophy of education, that's how it's coming in. It's not the set of standards. It's how they're teaching. And so we need parents to go in and understand that what their child is learning is that America is not exceptional. And what makes America exceptional is freedom. And that's the gift that we need to give to the next generation. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, I love it. I love it. I love that call to action. And that is a great gift that we can give our children. Alf, I want to mention something. I've been really intrigued with this Arne Duncan salting suburban moms, white suburban moms, and I find it absolutely amazing that Obama's Secretary of Education, you talked about we want our children to be able to read and write. Well, we have a we have a Secretary of Education in the Obama administration who cannot speak properly.
Right.
This is the quote. This is the quote. I mean, it's unbelievable. He said, white suburban moms who all of a sudden realize their child isn't as brilliant as they thought they were, okay, should be he was, rather than they were, and their school isn't as good as they thought they were, should be it was.
Right.
Their school is not as good as they thought it was, rather than their school is not as good as they thought they were. I mean,
right.
The Secretary of Education, a Harvard graduate, is does not know how, he doesn't, he can't speak. Obviously, he can't, the thinking process is not working. He didn't learn that. How can he be so ignorant of grammar?
It truly is. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Well, and all you have to have is, as a qualification, really, is to be his yes man. Yes man.
Right.
I'm sorry. That's probably not nice, but anyway. Go ahead, Alice.
Well, one thing that I find interesting, and when you look at, you know, someone like Arne Duncan and you listen to what he's saying, I mean, it's scary because it's just not true, but I'm hopeful because it's just not true. But one thing I find interesting, and I'll send you guys this link. I was on Tamara Scott's radio show out of Iowa. I can't remember what day that was. I think it was Friday, and last Friday. But she sent me a couple of videos, and one of them was from a 1989 video from a governor's conference of Lamar Alexander, who, Republican governor.
Uh-huh.
And
right.
I want to read something to you. And when you watch the video, you'll say that you'll hear this. But he says, I want to suggest three things. Find out what's really going on, because I don't think most people know what's going on in the schools. Number two, I want to suggest that you create a brand new American school, a brand new American school. I want to suggest that when you do that, you help this new school develop some new goals and new report cards for itself. I would go down to the maternity ward of a local hospital, or whatever you call that part of the hospital, where the nurses are, who are there when the babies are born. Find out how many babies are born out of wedlock, how many babies are born with single parents, just so you know that. I would think the brand new American school would be a year-round, open from 6 to 6. A second characteristic might be that these schools will serve children from age 3 months old to age 18. That may be a shocking thought to you, but if you were to do an inventory of every baby in your community and think about what the needs of those babies were for the next 4 or 5 years, you might see that those needs might not be served in any other way. They have to be served in some way, and maybe that should be the school. Or if you study a little more, you might go back and think the school might have to serve the pregnant mother of the baby in terms of prenatal health care. Teams of teachers. Albert Shanker suggested that maybe there ought to be a team of teachers attached to a child from the day the child arrives in the school to stay with that child all the way through eighth grade. All this would mean that there would have to be a very professional core of teachers, wouldn't it? They'd have to be very, very good because they would have to be dealing with lots of volunteers. We have a big national service feeling in America today. Why aren't those people working in schools? Well, one reason is that it's hard to handle all those volunteers. So this team of highly trained principals and teachers would have to have career ladders. They would have to be master teachers. They would be paid $50,000 to $60,000 to $70,000 a year to create a brand new American school in every state capital. The great advantage of that is that there wouldn't be all these arguments of whether to do this program or that program or which one to do first. You wouldn't do any of them. You would create just one school, and you'd give the responsibility to one person who forms one team. You give them 1 year or so, and if they succeeded, then all the rest of us would be in that school, too. That's a Republican governor.
Yeah. I wonder what school of brainwashing did he come from? That is
and then,
just, and oh, go ahead.
That's in 1989. So when you look at that and compare it to videos of Arnie Duncan, when he's talking about year-round schools, schools that become the hub of the community where the schools are the mom and the dad. That's what this is. This is about the battle is between parental rights and government rights. And that's where the hope is, because I can't tell you how powerful that instinct of a mother is to protect her child. And the government does not have that instinct. And that's what's going to save us, I believe, is
you know what's so sad, Alice, is that Lamar Alexander continued to be elected to public office after these comments. Some of these were brought up, I believe, as we were trying to defeat Goals 2000. And, you know, he's been known as what, you know, what he is. He has been known by many people as that, and yet he's continued to be elected. It's outrageous, truly. And he calls himself a Republican.
And that's where we have to understand that this is not a Republican or a Democrat issue. This is a issue of government control over the people. And they are, Merrill Hope, she's been, when we go around and speak around the state, she's been speaking with me, and she talks about, and I know y'all have heard the story of when she went to the Reagan Library for that conference on education, and they talked about, it was a training for teachers, and she describes it basically what they're doing is, think of it as a picture frame, and the story is in the middle. And what they're doing is they're taking the frame of the framework of American exceptionalism and just throwing it out. And it becomes this globalist society where our children are taught that they need to be politically correct because we live in a globalist world today, and they need to be able to communicate with other people in other parts of the world. But what makes America wonderful is having that framework of American exceptionalism around us. And that American exceptionalism comes from freedom, freedom of choice to choose what you want to be when you grow up, not, and what you think you want to be when you're 18 is completely different than what you are when you're 40. And so, but we have the freedom to grow and hone our talents and use our gifts from God and be free in that journey. And so that really, to me, it has been very powerful when we go around and speak to explain it in a way that there are people that believe that the government is the parent, and we have to step up as parents and say, no, we are the parents, and we do have parental rights to our children.
Well, Alice, after having talked to Joan Landis, me and Miss Barbara, you know, have listened to her and learned so much. And you've watched that, haven't you, that mental health interview?
Yes.
Mental health therapist, Joan Landis. Oh, we've had her on a couple times, and we're, you know, hoping she'll join us every month. But it's just, Miss Barbara, I just, you know, when I listen to her, you've got to listen to her more than once, because she gives you so much information. And our state board member, Betty Peters, was on last night, and one of the things that they talked about was, and Miss Betty mentioned it, is pretty much what you're talking about, the one-stop shop. You know, there are certain things that is happening because of the stress is really a very dangerous. You know, things that can happen to a child, just even a child, you know, losing their hair, and that's one of the things that we have received is information. There's, you know, children losing hair, one pulling their hair out, elementary school, and the other one high school, just losing it from stress. And, you know, that could be a reason to see, a psychiatrist. But Ms. Betty pointed out, and, you know, you won't even have to go anywhere, because now they're going to be, you know, mental health is going to be covered in schools. That is that one-stop shop, you know, that they're trying for. You're not only going to see your nurses in schools, you're also going to see mental health counselors, you know, in schools. So it's really very troubling with what you're saying. But, too, one of the things that I'm getting, you know, I'm bad about looking at the big picture, sometimes too big. But what I'm seeing with Common Core is as, you know, we've studied, we've all studied it, it was as quick an approach as they could to raise the older children to become activists. You know, very, very much, you know, everything that they write, critical thinking skills and all that, argumentative, learn how to be argumentative and all that, that's for them to be trained to be little activists. But they, of course, they didn't really care about children in this process. You know, it's all about the next voting generation. And so they go from the top-down approach. And so when you start looking at the process and you've got these 500, you know, psychiatrists, child psychologists, mental health people, educators joining together in a statement saying, and it's not just 100, not 200, it's 500 experts in their field saying this is developmentally appropriate, you know very well they don't care about the child. It is not about the child. But then when you start putting that together and then you're listening to somebody like Joan Landis telling you one of the things that she told us is very troubling, and I'll stop right now and let Miss Barbara tell you about the psychosis that can develop. Miss Barbara, would you mind sharing that with Alice?
I will, but you know, something I wanted to mention too that
and
I
appear that we are back. Am I correct in my assumption?
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I don't know who that was, Miss Barbara. But go ahead. I thought I heard a voice too. But go ahead.
I did too.
I heard a gentleman. I don't see him on the board. But go ahead.
Okay. Well, when you were talking about children pulling their hair out and losing their hair and so forth, and then the mental health people being right there in the schools, they're turning it into a one-stop shopping center, and that was the terminology they used back with Goals 2000. But anyway,
I'm already
halfway
there.
And
you know, that is so strange. We have got somebody that's not on the board, but we are hearing a voice. But anyway.
Did you hear that voice?
I did hear that voice, too, and I heard it, too. So all three of us did not imagine.
it's got to be
Blog Talk. It's got to be the Blog Talk people because I don't see anybody else on the board. But anyway, try again, Ms. Barbara.
Well, the point I was trying to make is, you know, with the children stressed over all this and depressed, and exhibiting behaviors that go along with that, they're going to be medicating the children, not just counseling them. They're going to be put on increased medications and so forth. So it's just a horrible, horrible thing. And also I wanted to mention that she talked about the brain, the neuroscience behind brain development and the circuitry adjustments that will actually change the brain when little children's brains, the circuits are changed. For example, the moving objects with all the digital technology that's being increasingly used, she said it completely different patterns in the brain of a child than, say, a book does, that the moving objects on a screen, they make quick and short demands on a child's mind, but it's a very passive thing, contrasting with reading a book that requires an active cognitive process, but that the moving screens, moving objects over a screen, she believes contributes to ADD and ADHD and those various.
Very interesting.
And I'm particularly interested in this because here locally with our city school board, they are examining a proposal to purchase iPads for every child in the city schools from fourth grade up. And you know, there are many reasons to oppose that, but this being certainly one of them. And also the increase of digital dementia, where there is a lot of memory loss going on among young people who are hooked to the digital technology and so forth. But what Diana was talking about was she was saying that we're seeing a return to or an increase in this Common Core curriculum of situational ethics, the values clarification, the lifeboat scenario, where children are set up and to be, you know, to make these decisions on life and death for other people. And she was saying that this can actually induce psychosis or insanity when you set a child up to in a double bind where the answers are pre-selected and a child is not allowed to do what their conscience says is right, what they've been taught is right, but they have to select from pre-selected answers that they do not agree with, and they're required to do this. It's damned if you do and damned if you don't type thing. It doesn't allow them to think outside of those pre-selected answers. So she was saying this is so very harmful for children to be put in that position. And that's
wow. And I guess my point is to say that, you know, when I see an article like that with Thomas Ratcliffe,
you know, he does not understand what you understand, Allison, and what we understand. You know, we the news that we hear, the more we know about Common Core, the worse it gets. It does not get better. It's like Obamacare. It does not get better for every day that we dig deeper. And so how dare these people, you know, we are not going to back out because it means too much to us. And it infuriates me when I hear that because, you know, there's parents out there who are asleep and they're thinking, oh, I'm just going to speak to the teacher. We're going to take this little tutorial class that they're offering at the school, and that's going to make it all good. But when you hear what this mental health therapist is saying, all it tells me is they don't even realize they're rushing the demise of that child's ability to think for himself. They're ratcheting it up. The more they fall in line, the worse it will be, I think.
Well, I want to give you a little good news, too, about teachers. And one of the tactics and strategies that we've been using is to organize at the local level and create these closed Facebook groups within a local school district. So then people in the local district can start inviting their friends into those local closed Facebook groups, and they can start talking about the issues and the people and the and how to combat these issues locally, because they know who the people are in their local community. They know the dynamics on the ground. And one of the things that we have seen in this push for 21st century learning and Common Core and Fed-Led Ed and whatever you want to call it, that type 2 philosophy of education, is your veteran teachers, your teachers that went to school to learn how to teach, and they know that this is not right. They are being organized, I believe, to be weeded out. So if they're not teaching in this new way of teaching, if they're not falling in line, they're removed or they're bullied out. But when you create a coalition between the moms and dads and the teachers, the people who are closest to the children, and you create those opportunities for the parents to go in and say, can I see, and for the teachers to explain and be questioned about how they're learning to teach, and they start to understand that they're the scapegoats. The teachers are the scapegoats in this situation, because when the kids fail, they're going to blame it on the teachers. And the teachers are being forced to use this new way of teaching and these curriculum management systems. And so you can start weeding out, if you're organized at the district level, you can start weeding out the bad folks, the progressives, the ones who are pushing this kind of stuff, because they're going to stand firm because they either believe in it philosophically, or they're being paid to push a curriculum system that is, they just don't know what it is, but they're being paid. And they'll dig in their feet because it's their family income. So let me give you two different views of what's going on at the district level. In Spring Hill ISD, which is a school district in East Texas, we have some moms that are doing amazing work and organizing, but they have a superintendent and some teachers who are just digging in their heels, and they're not going to let go of this. They think that Common Core and this way of teaching is just fine. And when you start questioning these people, the first thing that they're going to do is what the superintendent did. He's going to call his attorney and find out how or the district's attorney, to find out how they can get away with this. They're going to get legal backup. And we had a situation. We were in Longview, ISD last week, or Longview, Texas last week, and Governor Dewhurst came to do an education kind of summit. He wasn't there to give a speech. He was there to listen to the moms and the dads. And we had two moms from Spring Hill ISD who were telling the Lieutenant Governor, this is what happens. You know, we say, okay, we don't have Common Core in Texas. You sign legislation to say it's illegal, but here we have the superintendent that's digging in his heels. And the Lieutenant Governor said, well, maybe I should call him, and I should hold him accountable. And not only did he suggest it, but the next day he called the superintendent and put him, he said, I don't care what his lawyers say. He can't use this curriculum without a public hearing. So it created that debate and that controversy in that local community. So last night they had a school board meeting. It was very contentious. The moms spoke up in their three-minute talks. But when they left there, because they have this closed Facebook group where people are inviting people in their local community, they had all these new people come in to this closed Facebook group because they saw how the parents were treated, and they're concerned too. So it's a way to build the ranks and weed out those progressives or those people that are digging in their heels. Now, contrast that with another school district, Brazosport ISD, which is over on the Gulf Coast outside of Houston, and you've got a closed Facebook group. You've got these moms and dads who are in this group. They're talking about the local issues. They're talking and debating about what they're seeing in their local school, and they're communicating with each other. That group is built to has over 400 people in it. Last week at their school board meeting, because these parents have been communicating with their teachers and building relationships, they have an open environment. They, at their school board meeting, the room was filled, and it wasn't filled with just irate parents. It was filled with teachers that showed up in silent protest against C-SCOPE and the curriculum management system they're being forced to use. So wow. Either scenario that is created by going in and saying, can I see, is productive, because either you're building the coalition and you're working together as a community to find solutions to teach our children that American exceptionalism, or you're going through the process of weeding out the progressives and getting rid of the folks who are not there for the right reasons. And each community is going to look different and feel different, and there's got to be local people willing to take on the task to fight the battle for their children in the local community.
Wow, that sounds so good, Alice. I went to one, and there was, our parents are asleep. But I like that idea of starting a Facebook page. And you're saying if for ours are like school districts, or I guess we've got county schools and city schools, so we would have to do two like that, separate them, or would you put them in one for like a county?
It depends on the community and what the dynamics of the community look good. And so, it just kind of depends on what that, you know, if it's better, if you can get more people at the county level. Here, it seems to be easier to organize it at the district level. So, it's kind of a trial and error thing, kind of see how it works. But then we've got the other groups. We've got the Ticked Off Parent and Teacher Association here in Texas. And that group is like 900 people. But that group is not about kind of that local community organizing. That's more a statewide group. So you're going to have different groups that serve different purposes. some will succeed and some will fall, and that's okay. Because it's kind of a trial and error to see how things are going to organically come together.
Well, now, you say a closed, so that would be by invitation only. Is that the meaning of that?
Yes. It's closed, but other people can see it publicly. So, for instance, if you, in the search bar, ticked off Parent and Teacher Association, you would see that, but you can't get in unless you are invited in or you request to be put in. Now, there are also secret groups, and that means that it's not public and people cannot see it, and the organizer has set that group up. And it may be that you started out secret and recruit people in, and then at the right time make it a group, but it's not open to the public. It just kind of depends on what the situation is on the ground.
Okay. Cool. I think that sounds good.
Now,
yeah.
What do you call it? What have they called it? Can I see?
Well, for instance, the Brazosport ISD is Brazosport ISD Concerned Parents.
Okay.
And then under, pulling it up right now. And then for our statewide, it's the Ticked Off Parent and Teacher Association. You've got Concerned Parents of Claude ISD, Rockwall County, Concerned Parents, and you may have some that other people start in their local community, and it's kind of like the ones that have the most activity and that people are working within that community, those are going to thrive. And the ones that don't are just going to kind of die to the side. And that's okay. There's even there is a MAD group. You'll love
I
this.
I saw that.
A MAD group, Moms Against Duncan.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
That's an open group. That's an open group.
I love that.
But
well,
these are
I
the
tell
kind
you...
Of,
go ahead, Al.
And one thing that is happening, too, within these closed groups or secret groups, you have the ability to add files and organize by, you know, if you set it up like a county group and then added a file to break it down by the districts in that county and then have people sign up on a file as to where they are in that county. You could even do it by the neighborhood. Have a ISD, we call them the independent school districts, but have it broken down by neighborhood, and you organize people by neighborhood. There's all kinds of organizing opportunities within these closed Facebook groups. It's amazing. Mm. It's really amazing. So, and that's
now,
the
let
kind
me ask you,
uh-huh.
How important is it for everyone, you know, I guess yours are broken up in, are your school boards broken up in districts? Is that how it is?
Yeah. Each district has a local school board, a locally elected school board.
Now, how important is it, do you think, all the school boards to hear from y'all? I mean, are y'all making a point of everybody across your state, you know, going before their school board and being heard about, you know, your side or about the,
oh, yeah,
the trouble?
That's what the people in their local community, that's what they're doing. They're going into their local school board meetings. And that's what I've been going around the state having Women on the Walls hosting these local community meetings. And I'll talk to anyone that'll let me talk in front of their group and tell them what's going on. And then I have the Stop Common Core, Stop C-Scope T-shirts, and that they can get them for a donation of $20, or if they don't have the $20, but they promise me that they'll wear them to their school board meeting, then I'll give them the T-shirt.
Wow, great idea.
Yeah.
Do you wear the T-shirt to the meetings?
Yes. So they wear their T-shirt to their school board meetings that say Stop Common Core, Stop C-Scope. And then on the back it has our tagline, seek the truth, share the truth, and stand for the truth.
Now, do they make a point of going to the school board meetings, every school board meeting from that time on, or do they just make the point of being able to, you know, speak out and share the information?
Yeah, they're organizing to have people that are committed to going to their – they have people that are going to their local school board meetings every time. So, and that's why I go in and speak and then give them the tools to organize by setting up these closed Facebook groups, and then I let them go for it. And that's what, like Brazosport ISD, one of the reasons why it grew so quick is one of the moms in that group made flyers and she started taking them to all the baseball games and handing out flyers. And then people started going home and then joining the group. And then they started finding out the information. So it's kind of like Jackie and them in New York. You know, they took the initiative. People will do it on their own. And they don't need me to control them or tell them, you know. I can be there. I'm there for support. I'm there to when they have the huge successes like they had in Brazosport, I love to share that information and get that out and give them kudos, but they're doing it on their own. This is about just organizing at the local level and empowering people to do it themselves.
Mm. Oh, wow. Sounds great. I think you need to make a visit. We've been saying that.
I was asked to speak in South Carolina at the South Carolina Myrtle Beach Tea Party Convention, and I'm going to be speaking on Common Core, and that's exciting. But the more exciting thing is that we will have a two-hour breakout session where we'll be able to do this kind of training and give people the tools within their state to set up the communication teams and then to start organizing like this at the local level. So if y'all have any, you know, if there's any events or something going on, I love Alabama. I'll come.
All right. All right. When are you going to South Carolina?
In January. I believe it's January 17th, 18th, and 19th, or maybe it's 18th, 19th, and 20th. This is their third annual convention, and they've got some pretty big name speakers, so I was honored to be asked. It should be fun.
It should be fun. That's when we're having our education conference here in Dothan on January 18th.
Okay. Wonderful.
And well, Alice, you give us so much good ideas. Oh, go ahead.
It's by trial and error that we've been learning these things. over time you start learning what works and what doesn't work. So it's fun.
On your T-shirts, what do you have? Like, is it red with white lettering? What are you using that shows up best?
It's just a white T-shirt, and then it says Stop Common Core on the black, and then it's got Texas in it. Yeah. So they're red, black. They're two colors, red, black, and white. Colors on a white shirt. So. And one of the things that we've been doing is when we have these local community meetings, I know, Diana, you've seen our, we always had the Stop Seascope signs.
Oh, I love it.
And now we had a sign donated with the Can I See logo. So that's whenever I go speak, I'll tell people, okay, at the end of this meeting, just so you know, I'm going to make you come and stand up with me in front of this sign so that we can push it out there. And it just shows, I think, the movement growing, you know, that these people in this community have signed on. They're excited to get ready to go give this gift of American exceptionalism to their children and grandchildren. And when you start seeing the pictures of all the different people, it's not the same people every time who are doing the work. It's the movement is growing, and it's old people and young people, and it's very exciting to see the pictures. For me, that's what gives me hope.
Yeah, I love to see your pictures, Allison. Like you say, it's different people all the time. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ms. Barbara.
It would be give your child the gift of American
exceptionalism.
Is that how it would go? Give your child the gift?
That's it, of American exceptionalism, by going into their classroom and saying, can I see what you're teaching my child, and can I see how you're teaching my child? Because that's what is the standards, and the how is the type two, to expose the collectivist way that they're being taught to teach.
Okay, that would be really good to, and you probably got that posted. How they are indoctrinating in socialism, how they're doing that.
Right.
On your website, right?
Right. We've got a lot of the material. And then there's so many great websites. One of the ones I found last week that was very helpful for me was the Missouri Stop Common Core. They had some great links to just flyers that they've made, all that kind of stuff. The Missouri group has got great, great stuff. The Arkansas Stop Common Core has got some great documents to show. And then obviously Oklahoma with Jenny Wright. And it's kind of funny because you start seeing, you'll see like a flyer or a great graphic that someone has done to kind of lay out the visual of who are all the entities, who all's making money off of it, or the data collection. And you'll start seeing the same graphics showing up on these groups. And it's because what really stands out to people will get moved, will get pushed around. And what doesn't necessarily say it clearly won't. And so that's kind of the way we've been finding documents and sharing documents. And, you know, there's just some amazingly talented people out there who are producing great content to share the story.
Hey, we're Americans.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. We're exceptional.
We are.
Goodness. Wow.
And our children too.
Yes, and that's why we have fighting moms like Alice Linehan who would dare go against Thomas Ratliff.
Yeah. Alice, you just helped us so much. Thank you very much for the visit tonight. Love visiting with you.
Oh, my pleasure. Mm. I love being with you guys.
Well, keep it the good
Diana,
work, Alice.
Uh-huh.
I will do it.
Oh,
I will do
it. Keep
Diana,
good work. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ms. Barbara.
No, I was just going to say, I know you're fixing to close out the show tonight, and we'll be praying together. So I wanted to be sure and be able to thank Alice.
Go ahead, Alice. Well, I think you were going to say something, too.
Well, I just, you know, I have hope because the network is building, and the both of you have been instrumental in this. I think, you know, Dana Loesch said one time, she said, today's headlines are tomorrow's history. And I think those of us who have been in this battle, fighting this fight, we know what the headlines have been over the last, you know, year or so. We can, we remember, you know, the moment that we saw the National Sex Education Standards, and that was the headline for that. You know, we've been the ones who've shared those stories. It hasn't been the media. It's been us. And so that it's pretty powerful to know that each and every one of us have had an impact. And the battle's not over, but the ground troops are growing, and it's because of the work that so many people have done. And so I thank you both for the work that you've done, the work that you will be doing, and the opportunity to stand with you side by side.
Thank you. Wow. God bless you.
Yes, thank you, Alice. Well, we're so grateful to God to have Alice Linehan in the fight. And with such knowledge and wisdom, and like she said, you know, some of it were unfortunately trial and error, but that's how we learn, right, Alice? And then we perfect
right.
it. And you have pretty much perfected the system. So, Ms. Barbara, she sent us an email on this system. So I thought I'd send it to you, but I'll send it to you again. We really need to go over it. Maybe we can go over it some before this week's meeting. But, we've been talking about that, Alice, doing our little, Facebook, secret Facebook pages. And closed groups and everything. So, because we do have teachers that are hurting. We know that. You know, they're dropping like flies. And they're a very important part of this deal. You know, we don't need our good teachers to flee from their profession. So we hope that we can turn the tide. Unfortunately, we have two emperors here in Alabama. You didn't know that, did you, Alice? But there's some emperors in Alabama. So, well, I don't know. You know, one or two in Texas, for the way it sounds.
Yes.
we have a big God, and so I'm just so grateful because I think, you know, I really feel sorry for these men, Alice, because they don't know who they're messing with. You know, they must not have a clue because I think they would be quaking in their boots, in their shoes, if they knew what was going to be ahead of them. So I know that there's a scripture that says it's better to hang a millstone around your neck and be thrown to the depth of the sea than to lead these little ones to stumble. And this common core definitely is leading a lot of children to stumble. If you're a parent who have not heard about the Mary Calamia testimony in New York, she's a licensed social worker, you need to read that, and I think you will agree. It is leading children to stumble very badly. But, you know, we're here. We're going to stand in the gap. We're going to stand strong because I think, Alice, is what you've said. You pretty much, God made us to do that. You know, God made us to do that. So we're going to do that, and we're going to close this in prayer. And, Alice, you've been working so hard, and we want to join with you, if you don't mind, and praying for, I know, your concerns and what we would, you know, what we need to be lifting up before the Lord. If you don't mind, would you close us in prayer, Alice?
I would be more than happy to. Lord, we just praise and thank you for the incredible blessing of the network of moms and dads and grandparents and people, aunts and uncles, people that care about these children, that care about the next generation, and will do everything in our power give them the gift of American exceptionalism and freedom, because in giving that gift, we are glorifying you, because they have the gift and freedom to praise you and to worship you. And that truly is our goal, Lord. And we just ask you to watch over each and every one of us and give us the courage and the strength and the wisdom to discern, so that we can go out every single day to fight the good fight in your name and in your glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Alice, and thank you, Ms. Barbara, and listeners. We hope you have learned. And, Alice, you're really making the information you've got available. Would you tell them where they can go to find it?
Yes. You can go to womenonthewall.org, as well as Voices Empower, EMPOWER.com. And on Voices Empower is where we will be sharing all the up-to-date information about the Ratliff situation. And so be watching, because he still may come back with more charges, and we'll be ready to stand. So we ask you to pray for that as well.
Well, I'm going to be praying that that man just gets it, that this is really just the love of a mom for children. And, you know, it's a powerful force. And I hope he opens his eyes, because it's like a tidal wave, especially when there's a whole lot of moms behind it coming along with Alice. So, well, listeners, we hope you'll tune in again. May God bless you. May God shine his face upon you. Thank you for listening to City on the Hill. Share the podcast. Go to www.cityonthehill.tv. And, again, Alice, please listen to is the featured podcast that we have when they go to the blog talk site. It's the one effect of a mental health therapist. It's right there when they pull up the blog talk part of our site. So it's just wonderful. We just love the information that she alerted us to. So we hope that everyone will listen to it. So God bless you, and thank you for listening to City on the Hill. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you.